Over with you some various different thoughts on the parasha. I'm going to try and limit each thought to a few minutes so we can, in 30 minutes, we can come up with a decent amount of thoughts that a person can walk away with in different areas, some from the Rishonim, some from the early Achronim, some from the Bali Musar, some Halachadik, some non-Halachadik, so we can walk away with a potpourri of different ideas, and something hopefully will hit home, and at least one or two gematrias along the way as well, so that at least whatever you like, there's going to be something that you like. Whatever you don't like, there's going to be something you don't like also. Okay, so this is going to be a random order to some extent. I want to start with a thought that I heard from Rabbi Moshe Einstetter Shlita. It was a Rav in Cleveland, Ohio. His son is Rabbi Tzvi Einstetter, who's one of the Ramim in the Neir Yisrael Beis Medrash. So he points out that when we count, the Pesukim talking about counting Svira, and it's relevant to the Svira, but when we count Svira, we count the weeks at the end of the week and the days at the beginning of the day. So it's an interesting phenomena. We wait till after 7 days are up. We say, okay, now we have a Shavuot. I don't wait till the day is over to say, now we have a day. The beginning of the day, I start counting. I'm counting it before the day happens. I'm counting the weeks after the week happens. So he suggested that the following thought. I don't recall if he said it in the name of anybody. I do not think so. I think it was his own thought. That when it comes approach to a person's avoda, so each day is a fresh day. You're starting the day fresh. You're starting it. You're not looking back. What have I done? It's not a very healthy thing to constantly look, well, how much have I accomplished? How much I've accomplished? If you keep taking your spiritual temperature, as it were, how well I'm doing, that's going to be unhealthy. However, a person needs to occasionally look back and say, you know, I've accomplished a lot. Look how much I've accomplished. That's what gives them the motivation to continuing moving forward. So the purpose of the weeks is to reflect after a period of a week, look how much we've accomplished. Whereas each day, if I'm going to be waiting until the end of the day to see how much I've done, doing that on a daily basis is going to become, instead of being beneficial, it's going to become detrimental. A person who constantly takes his spiritual temperature, how well I'm doing, is not a healthy thing. So we count the days at the beginning of the days, we count the weeks at the end of the weeks. That was his suggestion. I think it's a beautiful thought. The pasuk continues and says that Yishvi Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos. So the Zid of Tamimos. So first we'll start with a halachic element of it. There's machlokas rishonim, what the tamimus is referring to. It's referring to the days. Each day has to be tamim. It means you have to count the whole day. So you have to preferably count at the beginning of the day, to the point if you did not count the night, you lost the count because you didn't have a full day. So at least you have some of the night and part of the day. You have tamimus. So each day has to be tamim. Or they're not discussing that at all. I don't care when you count during the day. I need you to count every day. So therefore, the weeks will be complete. So I will have complete, because every day was counted. And that's why when a person lost the count by night, he when he counts by day, he does not make a bracha, because the bracha is Rishonim, whether you make a bracha. According to some Rishonim, you lost your mitzvah for the day. Each day is its own mitzvah, but you have to count the whole day. You're not counting the whole day by counting in the morning. It's too late to count the whole day. According to some, as long as I count each day, I have tamimus throughout the weeks. So that's one understanding of the din of. So that's one understanding of tamimus. We have a machlokas rishonim what tamimus means. Each day should be complete, but each day is separate, or every day is necessary to be tamim. The Medrash says a totally different taich in the tamimus, and he says when a person the Medrash says that tamimus are when you're being oyser b'sanah shalmakim, they're called tamimus. So the question is, I mean, that's always true. Why is it found over here? Reb Gifter, zichro l'vracha, my reshiva, he's my reshiva, you know. So Reb Gifter said that the sira is the lesson of using your time well. So the oisim b'sanah shalmakim, which the pasuk the Medrash is referring to, is a person understands that time is a valuable commodity and uses it well, then he's oisim b'sanah shalmakim. The most valuable thing that we're given is life, and life is expressed by, living every single rega, that the rega should be an expression of time well used. So that's the nekuda that the Medrash is referring to in Tamimus. There is a halachic discussion, I would just mention it regards to Tamimus, that Tamimus, you need 7 complete weeks, so you can't start Shavuos. Shavuos only comes after you've done that. That's what which is mentioned both in the Magen Rambam and the Taz, that Shavuos night, we don't make early Yom Tov. We wait until the nighttime to start Shavuos, because we need to have 7 complete weeks, since Menash Moshe is possibly still from the day before. So Rabbi Yaakov Zatzal points out that the language of the Pasuk is actually unique. The Pasuk adds a language of Be'etzem, which means, as opposed to just, it has to be the actual day itself. Let me find the language of the Pasuk. Excuse me 1 second. Here we go. Crossing Metzema Yamazeh, Pasuk Chavgimel, Capital Chavgimel, Pasuk Chaval, Crossing Be'etzema Yamazeh, Mikrakardashi Elochem. So the Pasuk says specifically that the designation of the day has to be Be'etzema Yamazeh. So Be'etzema Yamazeh means specifically in the day itself and not any other time. So Rabbi Yaakov points out that would be, and he quotes from some others as well, that the Be'etzema Yamazeh is telling me that Shavuos, there's no dinner to Sefis. You can't make it early. It has to be on the actual day itself. Now, it's a fair question to ask the language with regards to Yom Kippur. It is a fair question. There's a lot of talk about that. I don't want to make this too halachadik, so let's leave that. Okay. Rav Hirsch has a beautiful thought at the beginning of the parsha. It's a fairly well-known thought, but I think it's important to share it, that the Kohanim are also to be metame l'meisim. So that's why is an issue of tumah l'meisim for the Kohanim? So he suggests in his pirush that whereas many religions see the domain of this world belongs to man, and the world which belongs, the spiritual world, is the world of after a person passes away, there's a spiritual world. So the religion, in a certain sense, is addressing more from death and onwards than from when a person's alive. So the Torah specifically tells the Kohanim, which are the priests of the religion, that they have no involvement of after death. Their environment is specifically when people are alive. So they're administering to Klal Yisrael and teaching Klal Yisrael about life, not about death. Suppose other religions where the priests play a very significant role in the death process. The Kohen is specifically removed from the death process. Sad thought on that. When I was growing up in Cleveland, the largest conservative synagogue in Cleveland, I think it was one of the largest in the country, the rabbi was a Kohen, and he renounced his kahuna, he was merchel on his kahuna, to be able to be there for his congregants at the time of the funeral. So he was not, in order that he should be able to be there at the times of the funeral, he was nice enough to merchel his kahuna and be there for them. So that's what the Torah has come along and saying, that's not the role that we want for the Kohen to do. Okay. Rabbi Yaakov has a beautiful thought in this week's parasha on the language of Kiddush Hashem. So this is the parasha where we have Kiddush Hashem. V'nikdashti b'sech b'nei Yisrael, and then v'losechal Hashem kudshi. So you should not create a chil Hashem. And I should be sanctified b'sech b'nei Yisrael. So it's interesting the change of the tense. You go from the change of the voice. You go from an active voice to a passive voice. You should not be mechalol shem kodshi. So a person is going to actively go and be mechalol. And Vinikdashi, the Rosh Hashanah, said, my name should be sanctified. It didn't say you should be Mekadosh my name. It says, my name should be sanctified. Vinikdashi was up in Yisrael. So that's a significant change in the voice of the active voice to the passive voice. From the Lashon of Poel to Nifal, or actually to Hifil, but not to Hifil, to Piel. So what's that change? So he says the fascinating thing is his insight, Rabbi Yaakov, with his tremendous pichus. He says you find that throughout the times of the Rishonim Nebuch, we had situations where the community was threatened, and the parents killed their children. So he says, how is it possible to kill the child? Arguably, do they have no chi of mitzvahs? So they're not mechuyav in Kiddush Hashem. So they're not mechuyav in Kiddush Hashem. What right do you have to take their lives? As much as that would be very painful, the idea to leave them alive, which then they would eventually be taken to Avodah Zorah, possibly, etc. But how do you understand the act of actively killing them based on Kiddush Hashem when they have no chiyuv in Kiddush Hashem? So he points out that the Torah language is not Yushim Mekadesh. The Russian says, my name should be sanctified. It means it's possible that even a person who is not mitzvah in the mitzvah, because the mitzvah is not to do it, it's to the result is the mitzvah. So that's possible to apply even to somebody who's not chayiv actively in the mitzvah. That's what Rabbi Yaakov suggests. So then he says, I'll take it a step further. It says there's a fascinating Gemara. The Gemara goes through a series of various different non-Jewish Rishoyim who eventually had people who converted and became great leaders in Klal Yisrael. Shal Sisra, Nebonim, right? You have Sancheiriv. We have these. That Sancheiriv gives us Shmaya Bavtalion. Rekibov comes from Gerim. All these people are coming from Gerim. Like, how are they zeicher to such a thing? Like that, you know, you Bnei Bonim Shal Haman, love the Torah Bnei Brak, right? So Haman's 8 o'clock, right? Are learning Torah Bnei Brak. Why was Haman zeicher to that? So Rabbi Yaakov says, if the mitzvah is not the act of Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, but the result, so Haman Batsim gets credit in Shemayim for the greatest Kiddush Hashem which ever existed. He's the credit for the tshuva of Gans Klal Yisrael and Kabbalah and the new Kabbalah Satara by Purim. See, he gets schar. So the Bereshit paid him his schar. He's zeichah to have Enoklach, which become Gerim and become teachers of Torah and Klal Yisrael. Because the mitzvah isn't in Mekadosh, it's the result. So even if that was his intent, but if he was the one who created the result, he gets scarred for that. He accomplished the mitzvah. So all of these peoples, Sisra, Sancheiriv, through his actions, there was a Kiddush Hashem. His whole army is wiped out. Kiddush Hashem, the Baruch Hashem comes and wipes out the army. You can imagine the Kiddush Hashem to all of Klal Yisrael at that point in time. Right? So he's zeicher to have 8 o'clock, which become sources of Torah. He says, and that also explains, in that list, Nebuchadnezzar is missing. You sort of would have expected Nebuchadnezzar to be on that list. You have Sisera, you have Sancheiriv, you have Haman. You know, Nebuchadnezzar definitely deserves to be, you know, he's up there with all of the non-Jewish Rishoyim who've done terrible things to Klal Yisrael. So he says, Nebuchadnezzar didn't die the moment of his Kiddush Hashem. Nebuchadnezzar lived for many years afterwards, and Chazal saying the Mormon Gilad, he was Malach Bekipa. He was Zeicher to world dominion. See, he got his payment for his mitzvah. Rashi gave him what he wanted. He wanted the world dominion. Haman did a Kiddush Hashem, and then he died. Sancheiriv, Kiddush Hashem, and he died. Each one of them, there was no payment in this world. So they were zeicher to get their payment in the world to come. In the world to come, the only payment which they can receive, which will be valid to them, is that they have people which come as a source of Torah. The Nebuchadnezzar got paid off in this world. That's the thought that he says. So it's a fascinating idea that the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem is, we talk about creating Kiddush Hashem, The mitzvah is you should be mechalel. That you have a chiyuv to be careful not to be mechalel. You have no mitzvah to go around creating Kiddush Hashem. But through you, Kiddush Hashem should naturally occur. So I think that when Chazal come along and say that when you look at the Talmud Chacham, and you see the Talmud Chacham, you say, look what a Kiddush Hashem he is, because he acts in such a nice way. He's not actively trying to do a Kiddush Hashem. What he's trying to do is act the way Talmud Chacham should act. We expect greater of the Talmud Chacham. That's the responsibility, what it means to be a source of Torah. And Memela, there'll be a Kiddush Hashem. But he has no. There's no need for him to actively intend to go to Mekadosh Hashem. So actually, on that point, the Chassam Sofer says the flow of the psukim. So the pasuk says the pasuk right before the of Chil Hashem in Kapitel Chav Beis. So in pasuk Laman Aleph, it says. Rashi says that's referring to Zuma Mishnah Bazal Maisa. So it's referring to the person who's learning and then doing. So Pasuk Lama Be'al, we're talking about learning Torah. Well, Zachal Hashem Kachi, when he dashes up in Israel, is Pasuk Lama Be'is. So some Sefer says that that's the flow of the Psukim, that the person who was undertaken to be committed to have Mishnah and have Maisa, that he's very going to be committed to learn Torah, and then. Put it lemaisa. He's a true Talmud Chacham. See, he has to be very careful. The Sechal Hashem Kachi v'nikdashi b'sech b'nei Yisrael. That's the flow of the Pesukim over there, according to the Sam Sefer. I want to share with you a something from the Kedis Yitzchak. The Kedis Yitzchak was the Yitzchak Arama. The Yitzchak Arama was one of the Rishonim. He was lived in Spain, and he wrote a Pirush on Chumash. It's not so much a Pirush on Chumash, or that it's memorim about different topics. Can put in the order of the parshiyos. Many times within the memoriam, he would point out very nice pshatim in the psukim, etc. So he looks at the moyadus. We have six moyadus, which are mentioned in Kapitel Chav Gimel. We have Shabbos, and then after Shabbos we have Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkos. So we have six of them. So he looks at the six of them, and he sees each one of the six is giving over a necessary message to Klal Yisrael. Some of them, I would say, are the ikrim of Amuna that Klal Yisrael has to be aware of, and some of them are the ikrim of the Voida that Klal Yisrael has to be aware of. So he says that if you look at the Shabbos is Maisa Bereishis, so we need to know that the Bereishim is the Bore of the Bria. You see, Mitzrayim is the Bereishim is all powerful and is in control, and that there was no other power had any power against him. So you have Shabbos is Maisa Bereishis, he's the Barei, and you see Mitzrayim, Pesach, which represents Mitzrayim, tells you that the Roshim is nothing else, any power instead of him. We have direct contact to him. All of those Ikrim that Rama talks about, so the first Ikr is the Roshim is Barei Manig, and then the Roshim is Yachid, which is, you see, Mitzrayim teaches that the Roshim is Yachid, and that he has no limitations, which the idea of Anagufi has no limitations, and we have direct contact with him. Shavuos is Tarmina Shemayim, so that arguably would be that the Rosh Hashanah has direct contact of Nevuah to man, and the Rosh Hashanah gave the Torah through Moshe Rabbeinu, and we know the Torah, the Rosh Hashanah gave us the Torah, so that would be the next set of Ikrim of the Rambam. Rosh Hashanah is Schar V'Onesh. So the Rambam continues as Yud Gimel Ikrim, and he talks about we need to know the Baruch Hashem is aware of our actions, and the Baruch Hashem rewards and punishes. So Rosh Hashanah represents the day which to Klal Yisrael, which we are very much aware of, the Baruch Hashem is aware of what we've done, and the Baruch Hashem rewards and punishes. So between Shabbos, Pesach, Shavuos, and Rosh Hashanah, we've covered a large amount of the Yud Gimel Ikrim. Yom Kippur, he says, is the message of Tshuva and Kapara. Like we say in Shir HaMaalos, it says nobody's perfect. The next step of the Avodah is to understand that we've all these Amunas and we believe in them and we're doing them, etc. We are not perfect, and we are going to fail. And if we lived in a world where if you failed once, it's all over and done with, we would just give up. Because the Baruch Hashem is one who gives slicha, therefore we will have Yerushalayim. Because without Slicha, we would just be Miyayish. So the Keter says that Yom Kippur, with all of these, to translate all of those amunas into reality, if there wouldn't be a day which tells us that it's okay to slip up, Bernard says, I will give you a way to find your way back, and I will forgive you. If that wouldn't exist, all the amunas would be ineffective. He says, so what is sukkah? What is sukkahs? So he says, sukkahs has two elements in it. Sukkahs tells us that, to teach us that Olam Hazeh is not what the real focus is. The real focus is Olam Haba. So we leave the materialism of the world. And he says, and sukkah is also a concept of bitachon and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's telling that the sukkah, which the haftarah that we read on sukkahs, is about Mechemes Gog u'Magog. So Hirsch says this idea. I once heard this from I remember who he said it. He was a Talmud of the Aruch HaShulchan. That he said this idea that Gog u'Magog is about a gag. It's about a roof. It's about being able to put a roof over my head, which means I can create protection over for myself. As the Vilna Gaon says that a sukkah, the psukim, the Vilna Gaon points out the psukim which talk about the Bereshit bringing destruction on this world, it's found in the form of besides a magefa, but when the Bereshit is like sending things to attack us, it's either going to be rain, it's going to be wind, or it's going to be fire. So we sit in a sukkah. A sukkah is flammable material by definition. It has to be flammable. Psalus Garmin and Yekev is flammable. It's Oimer Baruch Matsuya, which means it's not going to withstand the Ruch Shein Matsuya. And the rain has to come in. So you're sitting in a structure which does not protect you against anything which is really dangerous out there, as opposed to being inside of your Gog, which will give you that protection. It's like you can make your Gog out of something which is inflammable. You can which is not flammable. You could make out of something which stops the rain from coming in, and it withstands the wind. So one approach is Gog. We're going to create protection by building our roof. The sukkah says, no, that's not how you create protection. You create protection by going to a place where you're vulnerable and knowing Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of you. Okay, the Stipler has a delicious sefer, if you can say that about a sefer, called Birchas Peretz. So most of it, in the beginning, he has Divrei Torah and the Parshiyos, which are usually more in the halachic bend. But in the back, he has gematrias. And he writes there that he had a natural chush for gematrias. He didn't count these up. He just automatically came to him. And what he would try and do is find a chazal which explains a pasuk, and find the gematria of that chazal in the pasuk. For example, Basukas Teshu Shivas Yamim says that the word Teshu Shivas is the exact same gematria of the words V'teshu Ke'en Teduru. So the din of V'teshu means in a certain way. It's in there in the pasuk. The pasuk says Kasher Yitein Mum Ba'adam Ken Yayasalo Kasher Osa Ken Yayasalo is the gematria No Se Momen Umiskaper. So Chazal says it's not referring to giving the person a physical punishment. You pay money and you miskaper, which is the moment Losh in the Gemara. The words No Se Momen Umiskaper are the same Kasher Osa Ken Yayasalo is gematria 1,387. And Lotzim Amon Miskaper is 1,388. So gematria is being off by one. He felt it was not an issue. Two more. He has more than this. He has about 15 on the Parsha. But two more. At the beginning of the Parsha, of the Moedas, it talks about Shetikru Asam. You're going to designate them. So Rashi points out that the first time it says it, Rashi in El Moedas Hashem, no, the first one is referring to Shema Avram Hashana. That's Pasuk Beis, and then again on Pasuk Hey El Moed Hashem Dikra Kodesh. That's referring to Kodesh Kodesh. So the Stipler points out that in the first Pasuk it says El Moed Hashem Asher Tikru Isam. So the gematria of Tikru is Zeh Ibra Shanim, and the Mikra Kodesh, which mentions the Pasuk Dalet, is Zeh Kodesh Kodesh. So the two chazals that Rashi brings are mamish merumas right there in the pasuk itself. Okay, we'll share with you one more thought, then we'll end. That Okay. Fine. So the parsha of Lechet Shichu Peyus found Lechet and Peyus found the smack in the middle of the Mordus, which is Rashi brings from Chazal that indicates that. So the Medrash says on this a very frightful statement. It says that the Bereshim says the Sukkim said that the Bereshim is going to do Kola. He's going to destroy the Umas Arlam. He says because the Mechal Masada Seyim Esa Kola, and you Klaisa, which are not Mechal Masada Seyim, you don't destroy the ends of your field. You leave it over. So you will not be destroyed. So the Schus of Leket and Pei is going to be the one with that which it guarantees Klaisa they will not be destroyed. So what's that Nakuda? So the Bar Moshe, the Usher Sover, so he says that that the person who stands his money comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So he leaves a Leket and Pei. So that person who understands that, understands whatever he has belongs to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The person says, you're living in the world in the way which you have a right to be in this world. We're batsim guests in the Russian's world. If we come with attitude, it's ours. So Rashi Rashi says, you know, it's my place. Excuse me, please leave. If, however, we recognize that we're guests, I'm happy to have you as guests as long as necessary. So he says a fascinating point on this. The Gemara says, the Gemara in Yevamos, it's a passing the halacha. When a person comes to Megayer, so we b'shas the Geiris, we point out, we don't go through all the mitzvahs, we point out some basic points about mitzvahs. And he says, I'm a Kabbal, and that's sufficient. So what do we tell him? We tell him mitzvahs kalas, mitzvahs kalas, or mitzvahs chamuras. And we tell them mitzvahs lekha shichlopeya. We tell the Geir lekha shichlopeya. Like, you know, the only thing, the thing you need to think of is to tell him lekha shichlopeya. Why that? So it makes sense because this becomes a foundation of understanding. So he says, "Vaita." There's a Rashi in Rosh Hashanah. Rashi in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says over there that we say on Rosh Hashanah Malchus, Zichronus, and Shofros. So where do you see that Malchus? So the Gemara says B'chodesh Hashvi is Malchus. So Rashi says, why is B'chodesh Hashvi Malchus? Because it's immediately after the words Leoniv Lager Tazor Sam B'chodesh Shvi Dechagwasa. That if you understand that the world doesn't belong to you, that's Malchius. So Lechet Shichlopeya is a active way of recognizing Malchus of B'chodesh Baruch Hu. When we recognize that what's something which is most precious to us, our source of sustenance doesn't belong to us, we've been Mamlech of B'chodesh Baruch Hu. So that's the thought that he has on that point. If you'll be marshaling me, I'll give you one more point. There's a beautiful Zosemis on the parsha that Zosemis says that the it talks about kedusha in this parsha. So the Zohar says the Bereshim has three anhagas, called one's called kaddish, one's called kaddish, one's called kedusha. So what does that mean? What does the Zohar mean? So Zosemis says that there are three kedushas in the bria. There's the Baruch Shalom. There's the Torah, and there's Klal Yisrael. What really is happening is the Baruch Hashem is the source of all Kedusha. He's the source of all, everything which is a true spirituality of Kedusha. He created a vehicle to give that Kedusha to us, and then we became Kaddish through that process. So the Baruch Hashem is Kaddish, the Torah is Kaddish, and Klal Yisrael becomes Kaddish. So he puts a Kedusha in this world. So that's the three Yomim Tovim. Pesach is the Bereshim is Kaddish. We see the Bereshim is Megal himself. Shavuos is the Bereshim gives us the Torah. And Sukkot is when we integrate that reality to ourselves and we accept it. When you finally, when something is integrated into your being, you enjoy it. When it's not integrated yet, there's conflict. When it becomes part of who you are, then there's pleasure. Then there's Simcha. So he says, that's what we say in davening every single day. Or he doesn't say this, but the Baruch Shem is Kaddish. Shimcha Kaddish. What's the Shema? Like the Rabban said at the beginning of his Pirish to Chumash, that the Torah is the Shema of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Shema means a vehicle to recognize somebody. Ibn Ezra says that the word shame is kept to the word shom. There. I'm trying to tell you, you know, I need to speak to this guy. He's 6'2" and he's black hair. Who are you talking about? Reuven. Oh, Reuven. I know Reuven. So it's a way to point at somebody. So we can't see a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But when we see a Rosham acting in the Bria, that's his shame. That's a way to point to, there he is. So Rosham created a vehicle to give us an awareness of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's called the Torah. And therefore, Kedoshim Klaisel becomes Kedoshim. So the three Kedushas are Atah Kedosh, Rashim HaKadosh, it means the Rosham, he's Galus in the Bria, which is the Torah. And therefore, Kedoshim Klaisel becomes Kedoshim, and they all of them are Meshabech to Kodesh Baruch Hu. We're Meshabech to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that's the taitch of that bracha we say in Shemoneh Esrei. Rabbi, so thank you for listening. Thank you for joining. Have a good night. Okay. Thank you.